Well, my children, I've been watching you all week, all week, all week, all week. And the only thing that happens is the same thing, same thing, same thing, same thing. And Sandy's yelling, Cassie's whining, Greeley's stripping, 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 stripping. Ooh, for dummy ate him, and I really just can't take it. I'll tell that chump friend that I'm leaving, never to come back again. I'll find somebody who writes better than you can. No more crappy sucks tent, no more of Zach's jet. I want Justin, Jake, and Amanda's better as I'm leaving, never to come back again. My all my children just ain't the show it has been. The first AIDS crisis, the first lesbian kiss, Tad and Dixie I miss. I miss my Tad and Dixie, my Josh and Babe sex. Some would say that all my children doesn't suck right now, suck right now, suck right now, suck right now. They say at least it isn't the drum satin slayer, 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 slayer. But for me, well, it's the baddest thing I ever seen, ever seen, ever seen, ever seen you. Cause when I watch it, well, I really just don't care. I'll tell you, Brian Franz, I'm leaving, never to come back again. This Jeffer, he can't write out of a paper bag. No more Fusion Green, no more Kenley's team. But I like more of my insane Annie Ross, I'm leaving, never to come back again. Taylor and Jake ain't got sexual tension. We need Opal and Brooke, more sexy looks. That Amanda's off the hook. Man, I need more Amanda. And Josh and Jake too. And Josh and Jake too. Don't stress, people. Ashley Mendoza and Jordan Hudson ain't leaving Pine Valley yet. But Ashley's getting close. This week on All My Children,
Amanda doesn't have sex again.
Greeley and Aiden have sex again. And like we've said before, we wish they wouldn't.
Cassie whines about Jesse again.
Fletcher threatens Randy again.
And the sextet sucks again.
All this week
on the Pine Valley Podcast.
Watch so you don't have to. That is gospel to us here.
I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And she grabs that little 95-pound girl by the earlobe.
And I was like, hit her.
I was like, slap her, hit her, go.
The new writer's coming on. I won't be seeing you people ever again. Bye.
Don't let the prison gate hit you in the ass.
And I am your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
Forget about going to visit Bianca in Paris. Why don't you go visit Josh in Pine Valley? Because he hasn't seen you either.
I'm going to say it right now. I am not amused.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast for the week ending August 22nd, 2008. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And we're very happy to be with you this week, albeit a little late, but you know what they say.
Better late than never.
That's right. That's right. I want to thank all of y'all that listened to us and held on the line for 40 minutes or more on our BuzzworthyRadio.com interview.
And I am so sorry that I was not able to be there from the very beginning, but I was just coming back from a trip in South Africa. So, I was coming from the airport and I was like,
South Africa?
Yeah, South Africa, girl.
Where is South Africa?
Huh? Kensington. I was in Kensington, South Africa.
You got family there?
No, I have family. There was on vacation.
I'm pretending like I didn't know this. I knew this.
Anyway, so I was coming from the airport. I was hoping that I'd be able to call from my cell phone like at 10 o'clock. But you know, but at least I was able to finally call. Right? That's what matters. So
I'm
our host,
you. It was
our,
terrible without you.
What?
I am so boring without Jordan Hudson.
She is. Will you tell her she is insane? She kept.
Even Alejandro said it. I don't blame you. I'm not even mad, Alejandro. I don't even blame you. He said on the show he wished that you were there from the beginning.
But that didn't mean that you were boring, though.
No, he didn't mean that.
Don't put words in his mouth.
He's a sweet man, but I know the truth. And on this show, you will always hear the unexpurgated truth. Ashley Mendoza is boring without Jordan or Taylor or Pedro.
She is insane.
Or Gucci.
I have not been able to download, because we could download this buzzworthy thing, right?
I haven't
done
it yet.
I got to download it. I got to download it because I want to hear the whole thing. Because I was, you don't really get into it until you like hear it. You know, like even though I was there for the last half hour, I was like, you know, I want to hear it.
I'm afraid to hear it.
I want
to
hear
it.
She used to say, she was calling me always. She's like, you better get back from South Africa in time. You better be here.
She's
like, where are you? Did your plane land?
She
goes, you got to do this with me. I'm going to be so, she's like, they're not going to like me. She's crazy. You're quite funny and amusing. Now, mind you, if it was, you know, filmed and they could see you, then you'd be even much more funnier.
Yeah.
Not trying to say that she's ugly or funny looking, but she's very animated. You would love to see her facial expressions when she does her imitations, people. You would crack up.
Because
it's not just the voice. It's her whole face. Like, she conforms her face to look like Darnell Williams. It's unbelievable.
If you thought Ugly Betty is ugly.
No, she is not Ugly Betty. Stop that.
When I wear my glasses, I look like Ugly Betty.
You're not Ugly Betty. You're what's her name from La Fea Más Bella from Univision. You're more like Letty, not Ugly Betty.
Yeah, but when they do her pretty, she look nice.
Who?
La Fea from La Más.
Yeah. Girl, your Spanish is worse than mine. Oh, Lord. And my Spanish ain't that good, but my Spanish is better than hers. That's all I gotta say.
La Más Fea. Right?
La Fea. Huh?
What did you say?
La Fea Más Bella.
The ugly most beautiful?
Yes, that's the name of the Mexican version of ugly. You know, there's been like 80 million ugly, like every country has done an Ugly Betty.
I know.
We were the last ones. The United States was the last ones to get on the freaking bandwagon and like make an Ugly Betty.
Well, at least we have it. We have a good one too, though.
So what? So being that you talked to them before me, what's their deal? Those hoes.
What do you mean? Matt and Neville?
Matt and Neville. What's Matt and Neville's deal?
I think Matt was crushing on you, Jordan.
No, he was not.
I think he was.
Matt, straight. Just because he's playing a tranny in a movie doesn't make him like, you know.
I don't know.
But
maybe.
Matt had a.
Could be a match made in heaven.
Matt's voice was kind of sexy.
That's right.
Matt
could
had
be
a sexy
match
voice.
Made in podcast.
I was kind of liking Matt's voice.
Can I tell them about your question?
What was that question?
Well, they had this segment where, like, they end their show with the, you know, they turn around the interview on the interviewers, and you have to ask them a question, which I was woefully unprepared for that portion of the program. But
you had one.
I had a good question.
Yeah, you had a good question.
Yeah, I asked them how the hell they got Andrea Evans to interview with them.
Yeah. When did they say that was? I have to make sure that and they said it's video, not audio, right?
Yeah. Video. Yep. They're going to the studios.
Oh, I got to find that out.
I know. Because
then
too.
I get to see, not only did I get to like see and hear Andrea, but I get to see what Matt looks like. Yes, people. I like boys and girls.
Listen, he does. Because he loves him some Alicia Mitchell.
Oh, I love me some Alicia
Mitchell. That was going to be like, I kind of put Jordan on the spot. I was like, Jordan didn't get to ask his question.
I know, but I didn't want to put him on the spot.
What was Jordan's question?
My question was, Matt, what's your deal? How you doing? Anyway, what about this drama going on behind the scenes of All My Children again this week?
If you touch a hair on Myrtle's head, I will kill you, TPTB.
I have to agree with what somebody said on our blog. You know, there is a million ways to get rid of Myrtle. Killing her in a tornado hurricane is not the way we want to see our Myrtle go.
I would kill somebody.
Have some respect the way One Life to Live did with Asa. And have her pass in her sleep. Do not give
Why
her a violent
she have
death.
To pass?
Well,
Why?
Look,
Why?
You don't know.
No,
wait, you don't know. It could be that Eileen Hurley herself has asked that this is, you know, she want. You know, it could be that.
So send her away.
What?
Send her to an old age home, assisted living. Don't kill her.
No, but this. You know what I mean? I could see for storyline because the rumor
Make
is
it
wait
a real
no
story.
Wait the rumor is. That Robin Christopher's coming back as Sky. And for those of you who don't realize, Sky turned out to be, only on a soap opera, Sky turned out to be Myrtle's daughter after all these years. Granddaughter. And my
Did you
feeling,
like that?
No, I'm going to tell you what I don't like about the whole Skye thing, about Skye's father being everybody, like, on every other soap opera, from the Quatermains to the Buchanans and all that nonsense, because she jumped from, like, every soap. I personally think that they need to go back and make it that Skye is Adam's daughter. I hate the fact that Skye turned out not to be a real Chandler, that she's not really Adam's daughter. I think they somehow need to have Gretel, whatever her name is, Linda Dano's character, admit to the fact that she slept with Adam and that Skye's really his daughter.
This is all my donut hole of viewership, people. I know nothing about this.
Yes, this turned out to be that Skye is not Adam's daughter, and that Skye's mother, real mother, is Linda Dano's character from One Night to Live, which is Greta Cummings, but then she has some bizarre name, Ray. That's what her name was when she came back. And that Skye, like, then went looking for her father, and she was on One Night to Live for like about a year or so, and then she went to General Hospital for a couple of years where she thought she was a Quatermain, and then at the very end of the storyline, Ray admits that Alan really wasn't her. So this is basically what we call a big mess, a big hot mess on ABC's part.
Someone said
and
that on the
did
blog.
They really
hot mess.
I'm not caught up on the blog yet, so I have to like,
I loved it.
I love Robin Christopher. I love the character Skye. You know, in my proposal that I was bringing Skye back.
I sure do.
My original proposal, I want sure Skye back. So if Robin Christopher is coming back to All My Children, you know what? She should, because that's where she is. The
I
character
like
started, and she should be home.
I disagree.
You don't like Skye?
Not that I don't know her, first of all. I think that we still need to focus on getting Brooke and Dixie back.
No, you're right. But you got to understand that bringing Skye back is of the same ilk as bringing Dixie and Brooke back. Skye
you
has a lot
hell
of...
No.
Skye,
no,
listen
Jordan.
To me, listen to me. Skye has a lot...
I'm going to beat you up.
Let me... Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Listen to what I'm going to tell you.
Do Skye, I get a tap in?
Yes.
Hold on.
That was weak. Do it again.
Come on.
Oh, that was a little better. All
that
right.
Hurt my
ass. That was a little better.
That is sacrilege.
But that's the way to do it.
Ow.
If you're going to do it, make it hurt, girl. Make
that
it hurt.
So go ahead with your cockamamie.
Ooh, that was good. You should do it a little lower now.
Go on with your cockamamie thesis.
No, Skye has history in the show. She has a beautiful relationship with her Uncle Stuart. Her and Adam have a lot of unresolved issues. Kobe and JR would benefit from having their older sister around. And Skye used to be in love with Tad. So there's history with Tad and Skye.
That I like.
So, and like I've always told you, at this point, I would rather see Michael Knight with somebody that he has history with than them bringing on some bizarre new woman. Though I will say this. I actually think, and I know you people are going to laugh at me because I was so, when I heard she was coming. I actually do not mind Beth Ehlers on All My Children as Taylor. You understand, I loved Beth Ehlers when she first started as Harley on Guiding Light in the 80s. But over the years, the character became very obnoxious and very, like, when they put her with Philip, that's when I started hating her character. And towards the end of her run on Guiding Light, her character was one of the most self-righteous, obnoxious characters on daytime, and I could not stand her. But that was her character. I like Taylor. I still don't think that Taylor should be with Jake. I think that their characters are too much alike. They're both people that are damaged. They both have issues. They're both downers. They both got, like, you know, garbage.
That's a good
they
point.
Need to
That's
be with people
point.
That are opposite of them. That's why I enjoy seeing Jake with our dear, sweet, bubble-headed, beautiful Amanda, because she's so light and fluffy. He needs that in his life. He needs somebody to brighten up his life. And who else is like that?
Who?
Our Greenlee.
Yes, he needs Greenlee, not Amanda.
I mean, is it me? But those two just have to walk by each other in a scene, and I'm like, crackle, crackle, pop.
My
snap, crackle, pop.
TV goes on the fritz when those two are on the screen
I mean,
together.
I'm sorry, but I think that's where they
overheated.
Should put him. I think that Beth Ehlers' character Taylor would benefit with being with somebody who's very light, like a Tad or even a Ryan. Yes, put Ryan with somebody that he hasn't slept with.
I'm trying to agree with you, but first of all, I'm starting to feel like Beth Ehlers should have been Liza, even though I know you disagree.
No.
I'm starting to think that.
Wait.
Because then she could have had a real history with Jake instead of a forced history with Jake, and then she could have been with Tad.
But no, but like.
Like you wanted.
But you guys are out there that are watching the show, because I know some of you aren't. You're just listening to the podcast.
So you don't have to.
But for those of you who are actually watching, come on, be honest with me. Is there even like one of you who remotely thinks that she could have pulled off Liza? I don't think so.
That don't mean I can't think it.
I don't think
just
she could.
Just because someone tells you to jump off
Liza
the George
Kobe.
Washington Bridge,
she's not Liza
would
Kobe.
You do it?
She's not
Does that
Liza
have
Kobe.
Any relevance?
I don't know what you're talking
about.
Does
that work at all?
Okay.
Anyway.
But wait, you didn't tell me what you... So you agree with me, no killing off Myrtle. At least not like that.
You dare kill off Myrtle, I don't know what I would do.
And
it's akin to killing off Opal. No, let me finish here.
Oh.
I have been a proponent of realistic storylines. If Myrtle wants off the show, let's do it real. Let's have her become ill, become invalid, and not able to care for herself. And then her beloved family and whatever's left of them and maybe Zach have to help her transition into assisted living facility. How about that? That's real. Don't you think?
But dying is real too. But no, I don't think killing an old lady in a hurricane. I don't think killing an old...
That way, if they ever need her back on the show, they pay her for a day. Someone goes to the assisted living facility, talks to Myrtle. She's heart. We have no heart on the show anymore.
You don't know.
We have no Brooke. We have no Dixie. We have Myrtle right now.
Again, you don't know. It could be Eileen Hurley herself saying, I don't want to do this no more. I'm too old for it. So there could be respect in her wishes.
Why can't they put her in an assisted living facility? Why?
Because this way it gives us closure. We get to say goodbye and mourn her. I just don't want the violent death. That's all.
I don't want her to die at all. I don't see the necessary reason for it.
I didn't see any reason for Asa to die on One Life to Live. But
that's
you know what?
True.
But they did it out of respect for Phil Carey and his wishes. Because that's what I read. I just read recently that he actually said, you know, he had some... an illness that he was battling, and they held his job for him. And then when he came back, he realized that he just was not able to deal with the, you know. But now they bring him back as a ghost, not a ghost, but a figment of people's, not a figment, but you know, really well written stuff where they Bo like deals with his closure with Ace and stuff. And I wouldn't mind that with Myrtle. I just don't want the violent death. I don't see the necessary reason. Even in my proposal to kill off Ruth Martin, I did it a natural way where she had a heart attack. That's natural. That happens in life.
I don't see why it has to happen at all.
Well, I mean, where's Ruth? You want to talk about the heart of the show? Look, I'm a
She's
big Mary.
She's not the heart of the show. Ruth, the new Ruth, the Lee Merriweather is not the heart of the show. Mary Fickett is the heart of the show.
Yes, but the character Ruth Martin is a heart, and I'd rather have Ruth than no Ruth at all.
But she's not really Ruth, so for me, it doesn't do it for me.
And that's
Myrtle
the problem.
Is really Myrtle, you know
but
what
that's
I'm
the,
saying?
That's the problem. That's
Brooke
why
is really
that's
Brooke.
Why that's why Lee Merriweather is not on the show regularly because a lot of people feel that
because
way.
She lives in LA, and they won't pay for her to come.
No, they don't want the character because they know that a lot of fans don't consider her to be Ruth like you do. And what I'm saying is, this is why I would rather they kill the character off.
Real
because,
Ruth isn't
because
valid, I think.
I don't know about Mary Fickett. I know
I
that
read it on the soap.
Is that what
online.
Happened?
She's invalid, I think.
I know that somebody my source whose name I can't reveal. My source
who won't tell you people about the fact that I can't say it.
Don't you even
about
dare
that's the fact that Blendy what?
No.
I won't say it. I'm teasing.
It has not been in the magazines. And we lost one viewer, one listener because of my mouth. So I'm keeping quiet.
I'm sorry.
Mary, my source told me he or she saw Mary Fickett. Shahi saw Mary Fickett on one of her final days and said that she did seem like something was wrong.
Yeah, like health problem.
Health problem wise.
It's online, people. I don't remember exactly, but I read it on soap opera.
And that's a shame because Mary Fickett is you. Mary Fickett,
Soap Central.
You gave so much to all my children, and I'm going to start crying. You gave so much to all my children. You were such an amazing actress, and you are so missed.
So missed.
But
I think she's invalid. Even so missed
is the character Ruth. And if you're not going to have Lee Merriweather come on and play her, so that we could see scenes with Ruth and her children, then I'd rather you kill the character off.
In that case, I agree with you. In the case where it's a Mary Fickett and she cannot come back physically, then yes, kill her and give Joe something to act. You know, give the family someone to mourn.
Like
when Grandma Martin died.
You know,
when Kate Martin died.
Kate Campbell who played Oh, Grandma. I used to love Grandma,
Grandma Kate, right?
Yeah. Didn't we all want a grandma like Grandma Kate?
Oh, my God. You don't know.
Oh, my God. And when Michael Knight...
Because my grandmothers didn't even speak English. They really didn't.
So that's why you wanted a grandmother like Kate?
I wanted a nice, white, caring Grandmother Kate who baked cookies and who was there after school when you got home and could give you milk.
And what did your grandmother do? Take a chancleta and hit you?
She did not make me cookies. Let's put it that way.
Well, my grandma...
My grandmother got breast their souls. I love them.
My grandmother spoiled me rotten.
Wasn't she the Jehovah's Witness?
No, that's my mother. That's my mother's aunt.
Oh, that's Mother Flintstone.
The only grandmother that I knew was my dad's. My mom's grandmother was already gone. But my dad's grandma, my dad's mother, she spoiled me rotten. She used to, oh my God, whatever I wanted. Because we used to only visit her on Sundays because my dad worked and she lived in the borough way. And every Sunday, whatever I wanted to eat. I was the special grandchild because
so
I was the
grand.
Whatever the hell I wanted. Rice and beans. She used to make.
Totones.
She used to make these incredible meatballs. And then she used to do the Puerto Rican version of shepherd's pie, which they called potato pie in Puerto Rico. That's what she told me. But it was they didn't put like the peas, it was just potato. Ground beef.
But
and
meanwhile,
potato.
Your father still makes Sunday dinner every weekend at like 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
My dad cooks 5 times a week. What are you talking about? Four
are
to five
you
times.
Serious?
A- oh, I'm gonna go eat
you
till later. That's why I want to finish this podcast.
Me. You have not invited
He's making me chuleta and and
God,
rice
so
and beans
jealous.
And tostones.
You
I'm
have
I'm
to
dying
invite
again.
That is so mean.
Oh, I gotta invite you
my
over.
My stomach is grumbling right now.
Ooh, we better start talking about this
show.
The viewers are like, what the hell is going on?
Listen, we gotta start, unfortunately, with the sextet.
If you insist,
was
this
it
is
Brian?
All on you.
See, we can't even attribute these great names anymore because we always mess it up and we miscredit people.
We gotta start
people.
Taking notes.
I know, I'm sorry, people, but there's so many great, notes. There's so many great blog postings. So many, it's hard
and
to keep
And we're getting
up.
New bloggers and new listeners.
Every
keep
day.
Coming. I love
we,
it. I love
we
it.
We love it. We love having you.
We love having you. We want to hear your comments.
That's
on the blog.
Right. Your astute commentary.
I still feel that we got the best bloggers.
I know. I don't want to put anybody else's other bloggers down.
I'm not
but,
putting anybody else's bloggers down.
Good.
Our bloggers are intelligent. They love the show. That's all I'm going to say. And I love
Absolutely.
I love talking to them on the blog.
Well, as we predicted, as all of you, I'm sure, predicted, of course, there was no fallout from Adam on seeing his wife cozy up to Ryan in the bathroom.
No, the one that seemed most upset was Kendall. Again.
Yeah, seriously.
Again.
Well, Blandy was pretty upset. She was really upset.
Let me say, the only thing that saves this whole sextet storyline is seeing Annie and her reactions and her stuff.
You know what made it for me?
What?
Seeing I call her Blandy.
No, it's Insani. Insani.
Seeing Insani in her brown gauchos.
She looked cute. Leave her alone.
She looked horrible.
No, she didn't. It was a look. It was a look. It was a look. Leave her alone.
I went back.
I'm loving her straight, like, dead hair.
I went back to my 1970 school picture. And there's something on the end of that. It's not 1970. 1970 something. Because I'm not going to tell you how old I am. School picture. I had them same gauchos in blue. I did. I love them, too.
You're an idiot.
Anyway, and I think at the same time we also had Kendall reveal to Greenlee. Was that on the plane about the key thing?
Yeah, stupid.
So then we have like a diversion in the storylines. We have Greenlee and Adam. Actually, we have Greenlee making quote unquote dinner for Adam.
Fondue's considered dinner?
She's stupid.
I was like, when's fondue considered dinner?
Fondue is disgusting. Fondue is like. I went once.
I've never had fondue.
But I'm telling you, I went. But listen, there's some of you people, and got to admit, that you serve for dinner fondue. You got to admit it.
But is that a meal? Like, is that the whole meal?
Well, this is what I'm going to tell you. I went
What's
once.
That? Bread and cheese, right?
I went once to Pedro's mom's house. I'm not kidding you. I got there. She had a little pot, like a little crock pot. And this nasty melted cheese with like a bottle of wine poured in and all this like stale French bread. And she was like, okay, eat up. And there was like maybe a few like vegetables, like a broccoli florette, maybe a carrot stick. And I was looking at Pedro. My stomach was grumbling. I was like, this is dinner. I was pissed.
Well, I'm Latin. That is certainly not dinner for me.
Not
cheese
dinner
and bread and wine is not dinner for me.
I hope y'all.
I'm a meat and potato man.
Tonight, but you go to a Puerto Rican house, you do not see fondue for dinner. I was mortified. I was so mortified.
Because really, like, can't say she was making dinner for eight, and then I see her with this little, like right out of Bewitched. This little.
It was sick. I think that was part of the joke. I mean, that was cute and all, but whatever. So Jay comes home to pack up while Greenlee is preparing the dinner, quote unquote.
Dude, I missed the scene where Greenlee and Aiden came back and then told Jake that they got married. Was there ever a scene like that?
No, you're talking about moments. He's talking about
this
moments.
This is what I don't like about soap operas nowadays. I mean, where was that scene?
Wait a minute.
There was no scene where
Yes, there was.
No, there was.
Time out. She told him because I remember his face was all screwed up when he found out.
No, he came back knowing, though, that they.
No, people, you got to back me up on this. I remember specifically that he found out over the phone.
Oh, over the phone.
But time out. He found out over the phone. And I remember thinking that Jake is so brilliant. What's his name again? Why am I blanking?
Ricky Paul.
I'm sorry. RPG. I remember thinking how brilliant he was because he took that subtle piece of information and he processed that because he used to be in love with Greenlee.
I remember that scene.
Even if he's not in love with her now, it's like another reminder of everybody else, you know, pairing up and he has nobody.
The phone scene. I remember it now.
So, yeah. So, he comes home to pack up and that's when my DTV reception got a little messed up because anytime they're on the screen together, the TV overheats. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
no, I agree with you.
Well, what happened? He starts to pack it. She tells him not to run or something like that?
Yeah, she was giving him advice, and she was telling him that she's a runner herself. She said, when this happened to me, I ran, and when that happened to me, I ran, and when that happened to me, I ran. Don't be like me. No, it was... Look, the two of them are great together. It was a well-written scene. My only thing is, like, girl, jump his bones right there. Forget about Aiden and just... To Jake.
Did you see when he dropped the bread? One of them dropped the bread.
And he said that was some like ancient Chinese secret thing.
So here's my thing. She goes and gives him a peck on the mouth. He reacts to it. She doesn't. Like, this is the only thing I don't like about Rebecca's portrayal is that she's kind of not honoring the reality of the thing that she's doing. She is flirting like crazy with Ryan. Telling him the things and being so intimate with him. She's flirting like crazy with Jake. But it's like the character is pretending like it's just normal, friendly stuff. It's not. I don't care what you tell me. None of this is normal or friendly. It's intimate and it makes people think stuff. And after she kissed him...
Especially when it's your ex.
Yes. After she kissed him, he went, Like he was like, And she was like, I'm waiting for Aiden now. Adam's coming. Adam's coming. I can't wait.
You're so stupid.
That's how it feels. So then here's the grossest part of the week. Most disgusting, most bile-inducing part of the week. Jack comes to visit. Greenlee runs to the door thinking it's, oh, Adam, it's you, Adam. And she starts undoing her blouse. Do you recall this?
Mm-hmm.
Disgusting. And then Jack opens. He goes, whoa. And she's like, oh, God, Dad, so sorry. I thought you were Adam. Oh, my God. Gross. What writer would think this is a funny, hearty horror moment? It ain't. It's disgusting. It's gross. That was really one of the most offensive things to me this week. I was so disgusted. That little moment.
I've never been able to get into Greenlee and Jack. You know why? Because I feel like the writers have never really given us scenes and material to see how these two have bonded as father and daughter. Because she spent most of her life thinking that Roger Smythe was her father.
Yes. And being hurt and torn and wounded over him because he was a bad father.
And like the fact that all of a sudden they're like, this is your father. And she's like, hi, daddy. I mean...
Ugh. I bought it more with Sabine. For some reason, I bought it with Sabine. What?
I just can't.
I created Rhapsody in Red.
You're going to do it.
I'm sorry. I do. Alejandro, I do miss Sabine. I miss her because I agree with you. She was entertaining. I don't miss her in the role. She needed to be on the show in some way, shape, or form, but not as greenly. She was entertaining, though. Sweet girl. Mm-hmm. But here's what's even grosser.
What?
The trail. Okay, I'm going to tap myself. The greenly stripping in front of Jack. That was gross. Grosser was the trail of quote-unquote breadcrumbs, like the bread. Adam comes through the door after Jack leaves. He follows the trail of breadcrumbs to a half-naked Greenie who looks astoundingly beautiful and perfect in her little black and red bra and panties. I mean, she's the perfect body.
I was amazed that Adam was able to follow the trail.
It was really, no, you're right. That part of it was that
fascinating to me. Yes, it was to me too.
It was very fascinating.
I was like, it was like watching the mouse with a little cheese in the maze.
Yeah.
And seeing if he could get to the thing. And I'm like, come on, you can do it. You can do it. Keep going. Keep going. That was evil. We're evil.
It's true. Every step he took was compelling. But he gets there. And he gets finds there. Her.
He finds her.
But he forgets to close the door. But it doesn't matter.
Why?
It don't matter.
Why?
Because it's Adam and Greenlee. Their lovemaking transcends conventionality, but rules of decency.
Did anybody come walking through the door?
They could well have. How many visitors has she had that day before him? Two.
Are they in the same building as Jesse and Angie?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Poor Jesse and Angie.
That's an ugly building with an ugly loft.
Oh, my God.
They need to give the Hubbards a house. I refuse to believe that all four of those people are living in one little house. Mm-hmm. And I mean, one little apartment like that. They need a home.
Anyway, so then we move on to, we see at the same time, Ryan and Insani.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm in junior high and all the cool kids have turned on me for no reason.
I love her. Stop. She's fabulous. Everything about Annie is fabulous. Chuck Pratt, you need to keep Miss Melissa Claire Egan on this show and keep her character warping bitchy because I'm loving her.
It sucks for me because I can't get past original Annie. If she had started like this, like we all said she should have. She should have been.
Look,
she should have been crazy, not Richie. If it had started like that, I would love it.
We thought that at the beginning. Everybody we said that at the blog. I too. That would have been an interesting twist.
And then I combined all this and I would love
you,
all this.
And then you could have kept Billy Ray Cyrus. What's his name?
Billy Miller.
He was Billy something.
I love me some Billy Miller.
They could have kept Billy Miller on, and you could have kept an evil Annie. But again, it would have entailed the writers actually
and
having some brains.
It would have been awesome to see crying get duped by a lady. He needs
look,
to be duped.
All I know is that we have Insani now, and I don't want to ever let you go, girl.
Well,
I don't want to let you go.
Crazy with Ryan. And then she starts having an asthma attack. She is so good at those asthma attacks. My sister has asthma, and I get like nervous when I hear her going.
I'm loving me some Annie.
Like it, but it's good. She starts to think, what happened when she thought the baby was sick?
What?
Oh, because she was like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. I kept thinking through this whole scene, like, she's got a good man who supports her. She's really blowing it by acting so insane.
No, but you know what? Okay,
it's good that she's doing that.
I'm going to have to, in my Insani's defense, because I'm all about my Insani, huh? Girl, I'm your lawyer if you ever go to trial. Look, I'm going to say this.
You would be a better lawyer than Jerkson.
He is not a good man. And I'm going to tell you why. Because a good man would be honest. A good man would come up to you and tell you, you know what? I'm sorry. I don't love you. We need to go our separate ways. I don't mean to hurt you, but I have to be honest. Because raising our daughter in an environment with a man that doesn't love you but loves somebody else is wrong. So Ryan is not a good man.
Wow.
Okay, he's not. And you know what? And I don't blame her for doing everything she does because you know what? All she did was love this man and she stood by him when he got shot, by him with his crazy brother and that satin sleigh and all that nonsense. She stood with him through all that. And this is how he treats her by not being honest with her. He ain't no man. That's what I gotta say. He's a
Well, I stand corrected. That was a compelling take.
I'm sorry, but I'm feeling her, and I understand why she's doing the things she does. And those two nosy bodies, Greenlee and Kendall, need to stay out of their business.
I call them nosy bitties.
Nosy bitties. That's what they are, nosy bitties.
Nosy bitties. Well, here's what even gets worse. Crying and Insani go to see Spike and Kendall.
I love this scene.
And Kendall has sent Spike to music camp. You talk about rubbing salt in somebody's wound.
She sent to the music camp.
She sent a deaf kid to music camp. You know what I thought about?
Is he gay?
I actually was thinking. I was like, well.
Wait a minute. How old is he?
Listen, but here's the thing.
Wait, how old is he? Can he sing and dance?
But here's the thing.
What instruments can he play at 3 years old? What is it? What is a music camp for 3 year olds?
It could happen. But you know what else could happen? Listen, what could happen? It's very simple. Kendall has not seen them in 22 years.
So she doesn't.
Maybe she forgot. She forgot her kid was deaf. She's like, music camp.
But doesn't he
listen,
have that?
She's like, music camp. Sounds good. Get it? Sounds good.
But doesn't he have that little implant? Doesn't that make him able to hear?
Cochlear implant.
The cochlear implant?
Yes, it does.
So,
but not crystal clear.
But what I don't understand is what does a
He still has to read lips and
but
stuff.
But what does a 3-year-old do in music camp? Is he going to put on a musical? Is he going to do a song and dance for us?
He writes the government and says, please, will you help me find my mommy? She's been missing for a long time.
This is Chelsea Handler. Chelsea Handler had this skit on the other day where Jennifer Aniston calls up Brad Pitt for help and advice on her breakup with John Mayer. And he doesn't want to deal with her, so he puts little Maddox on. And they show the photos of them, and then they have, like, actors doing the voices. Yeah. And little Maddox is like, Jennifer, you got to meet me. You got to get me out of here. They're crazy. All they keep doing is getting more and more kids. And then he's like, I got to go. Meet me at the airport. Shiloh's coming. That little nosy bitch. And I was like, right now when you were telling me, that's what it reminds me of. I can see Spike now. Get me out of here. My mother doesn't want to eat. She doesn't want to serve any of us dinner because she wants to keep us thin. I need food.
And exactly that voice, too. I think that's the new Spike voice. Get me out of here. Help.
They don't know I'm around. They keep forgetting to feed me.
They keep calling me Ian. Help.
Oh, that was funny.
We could go on for days. Okay. For days, people. But the best part of this is not really the fact that she's sending her poor deaf child to music camp. The best part is that for some reason, Insani goes crazy.
Oh,
she's so pissed that she didn't know that Spike was going to music camp. So pissed.
Because she gave my favorite line of the week. Don't you dismiss me.
Yeah, but she didn't say it like that.
Go ahead.
Don't dismiss me.
She did it. She said it with a little more oomph.
No, she didn't.
Yes,
and she goes
did.
Like, she goes, oh, you bitch.
I loved it. And I loved the way she ran off after her and the way they show.
Why didn't I see her flying?
The way they show Ryan and Zach running after her. But, of course, they dropped the ball by not having them fire. I agree on that part.
Clawing.
I agree on that part. It would have been nice to see a good old-fashioned cat fight.
Well, anyway.
Like when Bobby and Ginny went at it on General Hospital in the gym. Ooh, that was years ago. That was like 80s.
I did like Kendall telling Cryin to have Insani committed. That was classic Kendall, don't you think?
Seeing some signs of life coming back in our Kendall, yes.
And undead Richie is looking undeader.
I love when he's there, to egg his sister on, though. How good are those scenes when he's egging her on? I love that aspect of this storyline.
Good. Well, then we have like a switcheroo. We move over to Fusion a little bit. We have Amanda.
Oh, that's right. Our Amanda was on Fusion this week.
I have a difference of opinion. I'm sorry.
The minute I hear Fusion, it's like what they were saying on the blog.
You get that little taste of bio.
I think that Chuck Pratt should just get rid of Fusion. This is why you don't like this aspect of the storyline of Adam trying to take... I think the best thing for Adam to do, and somebody in the blog said it, Adam should take over Fusion and give it to Sky to run. That would be great because you know what? I've never believed Fusion. I've never believed that these two bimbettes could run Fusion, and they don't run it. It's not a real company. It's a joke. It's nothing like when Erica was running Enchantment.
That's true. That I agree with. He's getting that little taste of bile in his throat.
Anyway, Fusion,
well,
Amanda.
First we have Amanda scratching her eye on a flower. A bit of a reach for me.
Yes, a very bit of a reach.
Jake to the rescue. Where did he get that eye patch that he
I have
put on
no.
her?
Don't
in his
you,
pocket?
He carries an eye patch with him, don't
he
you
does.
Know?
Oh, that's very prepared.
When he's not at a doctor, he works at the Jolly Rancher over at the seaport.
He's a very prepared doctor. He's a very good doctor. Well, That was where that he found out that Greenlee and Adam got married.
That was where it happened.
Oh, okay.
Because remember he came in?
I was too mesmerized by seeing Jake and Amanda flirting. That's all that was getting me excited.
Well, she asked him for a follow-up appointment and he turned her down.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Are you a man, Jake? Why are they not making Jake a man? He's been back in town and he has not had sex. Come on now.
I know.
He is a red-blooded American straight man who's been in Africa not getting any.
And people, you are crazy, or the TPTB, I should say, are crazy if they think that RJ would not have meaningless hot sex. He would, and he should.
Yeah, I'm sorry. See, that's the one thing that I'm not understanding about these people in this town. They do not like sex. In One Night to Live, everybody's having sex every week.
Thank you.
I'm like loving it. I'm sorry.
Why the hell am I not watching this show?
ABC, what happened to your slogan, Love in the Afternoon?
Love in the Afternoon.
This week on All My Children. I used to love those commercials. That's what they used to do.
Yeah.
Used to go, Love in the Afternoon. This week on All My Children. Jenny's lost in New York. And they would show that. Oh. But ABC can't even afford to show coming attractions. So they'll never show real commercials like
if
that
If I had a commercial, it would be like, Tad and Dixie make love. Jake and Amanda and Josh. The love sandwich to end all love sandwiches. It would be something like that.
Oh, I got a question for you.
What?
I want to ask you this.
Ax.
In honor of Katy Perry's song, I Kissed a Girl, which girl on All My Children would you want to kiss?
None of them.
Come on, you got to pick one. It's no fun.
Amanda.
Okay.
But that's too easy a question. Name another hot girl on All My Children.
My Alicia Minshew.
She ain't hot. She ain't sexy. Too flaca. No body. No tetas.
Carmen.
Carmen, I'm not attracted to.
I'm attracted to Carmen.
You're attracted to Carmen?
Yeah, she's sexy.
I think she's pretty. I don't think she's sexy.
I like her.
My other answer would have been Babe if she was still on the show. Old Babe. Old not Babe? New Babe. New Babe's cold and frigid.
I'd do Susan Lucci.
Ooh, that no, she's too brittle. She might snap.
That's a good point. I'm a little rough.
She's a little delicate. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So, getting we keep digressing. I'm sorry.
What the heck was Babe wearing?
When she when
that
what when
French
she,
maid dress?
I have no idea.
It's not Babe. It's so ridiculous.
Jason, what?
She and Amanda, they sort of ratchet up the noise on their whole plot to take over a few.
Yes.
Right? Whatever. And in the meantime, Adam and JR plot to make Kendall and Greens want to give up.
Fusion. And we disagree because I love this storyline.
I hate it.
I'm seeing old school Adam.
I hate it. I'm bored with it.
I'm not.
JR goes to Fusion and it's a hot mess. Actually, it's not a hot mess.
No, it was a hot mess. First
hot
of all,
mess?
Randy was like nowhere to be found. Those phones were ringing off the hook.
She was getting coffee.
She was getting coffee and
she
talking to Frankie. She should have been fired.
It took her like an hour to get coffee.
Not longer than an hour. Well, no, the episode was an hour, so yes, an hour. But still, yes, that's ridiculous.
Do you think that Amanda has become Simone with like knee slappers and one-liners?
Yes. Amanda's the new Simone. Basically, Amanda's the new Simone.
And Adam, in the meantime, is talking to Barry. I love Barry. To steal Fusion and get it from JR.
I want to know how much Barry's getting paid that he puts up with this abuse from Adam.
I don't know.
Adam must pay really well because I just don't understand. But I love it. I love what Adam disses everybody because he comes up with the most wittiest, nastiest comments on everybody.
Yes, he does.
I love me some Adam when he's going off on people.
Well, then Babe came in. Like, all this ends. JR comes back from having his little talk with Crystal, which was another same old stuff interaction, but forgivable because they're so good together.
Yeah, they were good. I mean, I agree with you. It was very repetitive, but I like those kind of scenes.
Well, then Babe, new Babe.
New Babe
comes in and jumps JR. Slutmetric just went dead. She was not sexy. She was so frigid with him. Like, even her, like,
really?
She wasn't. I didn't think she was hungrily, like.
I actually liked it.
Oh, are you kidding me?
I'm sorry. We are really disagreeing lately.
She's so self-conscious in her little, like, her little thing, her little sheet that she was wrapped in. She wasn't kissing on him. The way he was stroking her arm was so foreign. It was, like, so, like, it was weird.
I don't know. Maybe I was just so desperate for some kind of action other than Greenlee and Adam that, like, it didn't bother me as much as you did. I mean, I know why she did. Because somebody told her, who was she talking to before that was telling her, you got to take life by it? Was it insanity, wasn't it?
Something like that.
And that's what triggered her to do it. I guess you know what I loved more was the aftermath of them making love.
What?
When Adam
what? JR's nipples?
I'm liking me some out of shape Jacob Young.
His cutlets.
I'm liking me some.
He's
some
giving
husky,
nipples Novak a run for his money.
Some husky JR. Some husky Jacob Young is hot. You know, chiseled and ripped and all that's nice, but sometimes some husky. But no, it was the aftermath when Adam came walking in on them. I thought that was funny.
Oh.
When Adam was like, I gotta give.
Parents walking in on kids making love. Disgusting!
Well, what the hell is wrong with kids still living in their parents' house? There you go. If you don't want your parent walking in, move out. But anyway, it was when Adam was like, I gotta give you something. And she's like, I'm gonna give you this. And she grabbed the vase. I thought that was funny. I was like, I lightened you, babe, for a second. I did.
I didn't like her lovemaking scenes. Boring, cold, frigid. Back to fusion. Randy finally shows up with that damn coffee the next day.
And it's cold.
It's cold and moldy.
And the donuts are hard.
Kenley and Insani show up to work all at the same time. And they kind of strolled in like Charlie's Angels.
It was stupid.
Oh, I like that. I actually like that. Now, and then, of course, the dumbest thing ever. Look at those eyes. Look at those eyes. She'd be perfect for eye candy to Randy. They want Randy to become the face of fusion. Exactly my point.
Didn't we do this with Ava? And I didn't buy it with Ava. I do buy it with Randy because Randy's hot. Ava wasn't.
And babe, Lemia was really bugging me with her slouch in those scenes. She's really getting Colby slouch.
Mm.
You think so? No?
It's a fact. Yeah.
It's true. But Greenlee looks so great in that turquoise blue dress she was wearing. She looked beautiful. But they all start yelling and fighting. But this was more Blandy. Blandy... Insani, sorry people. Insani goes crazy in those scenes.
Mm-hmm.
She was like egging them on every moment, like saying something nasty, and they made it, and babe made it sound like they were all fighting, but it was really Insani.
Yeah, but you know what? Because of the fact that what happened with Kendall the day before, and the fact that, these two biatches have
Kendall
been getting in her business.
Kendall didn't do anything.
You know what?
Before, so she sent Spike. So she sent the deaf kid to music camp. Who cares?
It's you know what? It's been building up, and plus she's dealing with the guilt of killing her brother. This valid reasons for why she's going off the handle, and I'm loving it. Well, I was loving it.
She quits, thank God. She flushes that damn key down the toilet.
But you know what I was loving more?
That Kendall kept a copy of the key?
No, I was loving when she was going the next... When she went down to Confusion.
Confusion.
And she was trying to talk to everybody. So, great. Come on, we got to get them back. Don't you think what they did was wrong? Aren't you tired of being... I was loving Addie on Friday when she was doing that. She was just moping around Confusion. Anybody that she could talk to. Get this. Those buzzes of...
Well, she busted in on Babe, who was talking to JR.
Yes, and JR was not amused.
He was not amused.
JR was like, I'm finally getting some, people.
That's right. And then she also busted in on Amanda, who was in her little pirate costume on a date with Jake. Because Jake sent her a pirate costume and told her to meet him at Confusion. I'm the only person thought it was dumb.
I didn't. I thought it was cute.
All of y'all loved it. I love it.
You know what? I give him props for being inventive, and I wish that I would meet somebody that's that clever and that witty in real life that would do something like that, because I'd play along.
Was not into her. Sorry, wasn't. It was very. He was not into.
I don't think it's not.
And here's the problem. You want to know the problem?
What?
Ricky Paul Golden, excuse me, the actor knows better than to get invested in Amanda because he knows what's coming down the line. And the other thing is, people, I'm going to say it, and please, you have to forgive me because I love our precious Amanda. I agree with someone who said she's one of the most beautiful women on daytime. I absolutely agree. I think she's sexy. I think she's beautiful. I think she has an interesting face, beautiful hair. She's beautiful down to the tips of her toes and a likable person, but she's not the strongest actress. She's just not. She doesn't have that Beth Ehlers, that Rebecca Budig ability. You know what
she's
I mean?
She's only going to get better, though, when you put her opposite people like Ricky Paul Golden. I disagree.
He is so good. He has years and years and years of experience.
And I think
doing
the two
this.
Of them, I think the two of them have chemistry.
I don't think that she is up to his ability. She can be cute and flirty and all that.
Yeah, but you need a triangle.
He play
you don't
like
just
he
put,
does.
You don't play put somebody against somebody. You need a triangle. And I think
but
her.
Tell me this. Look at him in his scenes with Rebecca, who is a seasoned professional, who's a brilliant actress and Emmy nominated, and his scenes with Amanda.
Okay,
Then his scenes with him. Be realistic with me.
I know.
You're a good judge of acting talent.
I know.
You're a brilliant judge.
Is she really a brilliant actress?
She's a great personality.
I think that she can only get better when she's put opposite people that are better than her. She learns from them and she grows.
She's been on the show for years.
Marcy Walker.
She's still not brilliant.
Marcy Walker. What have they given her in these years for her to grow?
All right.
Crappy material. No storyline in the last year.
She's improved very much since she got
here. She has improved. But I have to disagree. Marcy Walker always attributed Michael Knight for making her a better actress. I disagree with you, Marcy. I think you were fabulous from day one. But she's always attributed Michael Knight for teaching her how to have fun in front of the camera. And then when she was working with A. Martinez in Santa Barbara, A. Martinez credited Marcy Walker for doing that. And I think sometimes you learn from the people you work with. I think I like Amanda with Jake. I do. And I think the only reason that he wasn't like showing a vested interest is because he was playing the fact that he's damaged goods. Because even when he's flirting with Taylor,
the jokes didn't land. When she was had that dumb ass parrot on her shoulder with the recording things, the jokes didn't land. It was very, didn't work for me. I wasn't entertained.
The only time that Jake shows any romantic, real vested stuff is in his scenes with Greenlee. That's when we see this longing and this hurt.
Because they're both brilliant actors.
He's curious about Taylor, but I don't feel him in Taylor either.
I feel him in Taylor.
I feel he's damaged goods. And writers.
You want to go back to Jake and Taylor?
Wait. First, enough already. He has been on the show how long?
Absolutely.
You need to give him a storyline. You need to let us know what happened to him in DeFore.
Writers. If you don't have the brain or the ability to include this man.
This is horrible.
How?
I'm thinking this week, why do we not still know what happened? It seems like they totally dropped the fact
you
that
should be ashamed. I'm gonna say it.
Disgusting.
Writers, you should be ashamed of yourselves. You are paid for your writing ability. The fact that you can't figure out a way to include this man prior to this grand scheme of a storyline you have shows that you do not have the ability that you need to have to be writing for a daytime show.
Thank you.
I'm really mad about it.
Let's finish with Blandy real quick.
All right, fine. We'll finish with Blandy. What happened was she goes in and she tries to get Amanda to be on her side. Amanda thinks that she's crazy and says, let's talk about this later. I'm on a date. She goes to Babe. Babe says, let's talk about this later. I'm on a date. And then as Blandy's walking away, all defeated and all upset that nobody will rally to her to take over Fusion, she overhears JR talking to Adam about taking over Fusion.
And then the week ended. Chandler Mansion. And that's where the week ended. I cannot wait to go home and watch today's episode.
Ding dong.
Because
Who's here? Insani, what are you doing here?
The idea of some Adam and Insani.
How about this? Adam, I'm here to take over Fusion.
I'm sorry, but I'm drooling to get home and watch all my children because the idea of Adam and Insani together. And for those of you who say she's too young for him, may I remind you that Palmer was involved with
Daisy.
No, not Daisy. Daisy was close to his age. Donna. Palmer and Donna were married.
That was nasty.
I don't know.
It was.
And I think there's a bigger age gap between Palmer and Donna than there was Adam and or at least it looked different.
If all these people have all these plans to take over this piece of crap Fusion company. Babe, in the end of her scene, says, okay, JR, I'm on board. We're going to take over Fusion, but we're going to do it my way.
Mm. Now, did you read on the blog that somebody said that the reason that David's coming back is because something's supposed to happen to Babe? Did you hear anything about that?
I did not. That is a good scoop.
You
think it's real?
I don't know. And we have mixed feelings about David, too. You said I read your blog. You said you didn't like David's character.
I hate David's character, but I love him coming back.
Wow.
You know why?
Go ahead.
Because he's more of that.
Because we really didn't discuss at the beginning.
Part of the show idea.
We only found out about this week. We didn't discuss it. Go ahead.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, he's more like, first of all, he's a pathway to Dixie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything that's a pathway to Dixie.
If the writers can use their imagination, yes, he could be. Yes, he could be. Yes, I gave.
Dial this one up.
I gave you the damn storyline. All you have to do is write it or let me write it, but okay.
He's Leo. You know, he's Dixie. Leo's brother. He's Dixie. He's, you know, so he's got the relationship with Greenlee. I just think he's a little bit more heart, and he's a good actor, and I think that he would be a good villain for the show.
As he has been an entertaining villain in the past. But, you know, he got written into a corner. Let's hope that the writers don't write him into that same corner. Keep him a fleshed out human being.
I have mixed feelings about him, too. I despised him when he first came out. I don't know if you were watching when he first came out. He was part of the whole Liza, Jake, Allie thing. And his character was so, it just was so not necessary. And then, for me, I started liking the character when they brought Vanessa on. When we saw why he was so messed up.
Yeah.
When he was involved with Erica. And then even more so, when Leo was brought on and there was a family there. I loved Leo, Trey, him.
Trey, no.
She
no,
didn't
no,
like Trey.
No,
I love Trey. I loved me some. I heart me some Sam Page. But anyway, and they just do not want Kendall to have a brother. But anyway, Trey, yeah, Leo, that whole thing I loved. And that's when I loved David the best, you know, like, and the whole Anna thing. I have to admit that by the time Babe came in the picture, I felt like they really didn't know how to write for the character, and they really did the character a disservice. I'm hoping that they do bring the character back to its glory. I read that letter that he said all those great things about Chuck Pratt. Sorry, Vincent Azaria, I disagree with you. I watched Santa Barbara, and though I enjoyed you on there, those years when Chuck Pratt was writing when you were on, that's when Santa Barbara started going down. The Dobsons were locked out of their own show, and Jill Farron Phelps, who destroyed General Hospital, was destroying my Santa Barbara, and that's all I got to say.
Someone on the blog said that he is now a consulting producer, Chuck Pratt. He's listed as consulting producer, something like that.
Of All My Children?
Yeah, someone said that.
Anything's better than Julie Haran and my career about this.
But here's my point. I was telling Jordan before the show, I am so indifferent about the show right now.
Yes, and we discussed it. The opposite of love
is indifference.
Is indifference, not hate.
And it's like, I was saying to him, and he was like, so he couldn't disagree more with me. But I said to him, I said, I'm enjoying, this is the least I've ever enjoyed All My Children. And he said, you know, how could you say that? Satin Slayer, blah, blah, blah. And I got to tell you, at least I had something to hate on. At least I had something to like grab onto. I don't feel like I have any storyline that I care about to grab onto. You know, if Jake and Greenlee were to get together, that would be it for me. I would be so happy and so excited. Even the Hubbards, nothing compelling for me right now is happening for them to make me hang on. I still love them. I adore them. Don't get me wrong. But it's not keeping me, like, wanting to tune in. Like, today, like, I'm not so sure.
I'm just going to say what the problem is with the Hubbards. Moments.
Fine.
Moments of brilliance. And no follow through, no real storyline. And when we get to them, I'll explain why.
I want to go real quickly to Jake and Taylor. Basically, Taylor comes in for her plantar fasciitis checkup. And she overhears Dr. Jake making sexy talk to Adam in that joking way of his. Mm-hmm. Someone on our blog had a hypothesis that with Adam and Greenlee moving into a house, her apartment becomes available. Jake needs a place to live. Taylor thinks he's gay. She needs a place to live. And so they'll live together in the same apartment, in Greenlee's apartment. Possible?
Yeah, it happened in the 70s. It was called Three's Company.
Ah! No, but there's not three people.
Well, we'll get Amanda to move in with them.
Oh, God, I wish. Oh, that would be sexy. Sexy time. That would be sexy time. I would like to make sexy time with Amanda. What?
Go keep going.
All right, fine. So then Jake ends up examining her, and she's so funny. She apologizes to him for thinking he was hitting on her.
I actually thought she actually looked kind of cute, because I agree with one of the bloggers. She was looking very haggard towards the end of Guiding Light. It was like she didn't even care about her looks. So they actually fixed her up nice when she went to the hospital.
So then,
who pays cash when they go to the hospital, though? If she's in the United States Army, why wouldn't she have health coverage?
Well, listen, it was...
Wait, because she wouldn't want them to know.
It was a co-payment.
No.
Oh.
I just realized that she doesn't want anybody to know that she went to the hospital because she's trying to... Okay, now that makes sense to me. Because at first I'm like, why is she paying cash?
Anyway, she gets Jake to like tell her exactly what's wrong with her. And when he presses on this certain nerve, she flinches and like screams in pain. And so when she goes to get her actual exam to try to get back in to reenlist or whatever, the doctor touches that part. And you see, Beth Ellis did a great job. Like, you see her, like, suck in at that point that's really painful. But she fakes it. And she says, I'm fine. You know, send me back. And the doctor says, no, you're not ready to go back.
Yeah, he still doesn't want her to.
And I like that. I thought she did a really, really great job.
Yeah, but again, a moment. We saw her, like, twice in one episode. That was all in one episode, wasn't it?
You're paying
this actress that you stole from Guiding Light how much money, and she's only in one episode out of the week?
I have a question for you.
What?
Why was Jake wearing a purple flannel shirt and a black t-shirt to a date with Amanda? That looked bad.
Wardrobe. Horrible. Wardrobe alert.
I am not even going to talk about Colby and Petey.
They were on this week?
They kissed.
Oh, I did like that. That was cute, but only because of Petey. He made her look good. Petey kissed her so Adam would get off her back.
I liked Angie putting Jesse on a diet. Didn't she put him on? Didn't she give him like light maple syrup or something?
Yeah, he biashed about it.
Cass complains about having to leave for her dad's surgery.
Jesse finds out that she was lying.
She's lying. That Jacob doesn't really need her there. That he's doing okay.
That it's just gallbladders. It's
a gallbladder thing. She gets
hysterical.
But I don't blame her. I think Jesse was hard on her. I think
he played the
company line, and I think that's ridiculous. That's his daughter-in-law.
His stepdaughter.
Excuse me. So Cassie throws a fit and she threatens to leave, but she actually does go to leave. Now, I'm confused because I had heard that her last air date was August 20th. And then she appeared with, I'm skipping ahead, she and Angie have a great conversation as mother-daughter, and Cass is crying hysterically, and Angie's feeling like she failed her daughter, and they had a great, nice scene. Again, I don't care, because I don't care about Cassie and the storyline, but they at least did a great job on the scene. And she did you see that point where she insulted Jesse's chili? Mm-hmm. It was kind of silly. She finally apologizes to Jesse. I don't know why. After talking with Angie, she apologizes to Jesse, and she goes to see Dre, and they say that it's okay, right? Doesn't Jesse say
yeah,
okay?
He says he's going to call whoever he needs to make it.
Because he feels bad that he has, like, screwed her over, because in my opinion, he has. And so they go talk, and they come up with this brilliant plan to go to France together. Now, I don't know. How the hell is Dre going to get on a plane with Cassie when he is, like, in trouble for possible murder?
They're going to go on the run. They're going to go on the run, basically.
But
he's
sophisticated enough to not use his name?
Look, I think they're just writing the two of them off as quickly as possible. They know the audience isn't feeling it, and they're writing them off. I feel that it's very sad that this young, promising actress was given such a crappy thing. Yes, and they're putting the blame on her. By the way, for those of you who are in New York, she is in a play with Leslie Uggams that just got reviewed, and she got... Yaya got great reviews. I'm going to try to go see it myself because I really like Yaya. Fact that she got these great reviews for the show means that
I
she can act.
With you.
We should go together if you want to. And maybe we could even see her afterwards and say, we liked you and all my children. Too bad the writers screwed you over. I mean, I just think it's stupid. I think the problem with the Hubbards right now is that there's all this potential for real storylines, and all they're giving us are thoughts and moments. Like when she told Jesse, I was stupid to think that after 20 years, everything could just be happy. And she's right, but you're not fleshing it out. You're basically writing Cassie off when this could have been a real storyline. You rushed it and you're writing it off.
I'm not snoring at you. I'm snoring at
the
boring storylines.
I'm just mad.
I'm so tired.
Well, then let's get through this because this next one's even worse. I really hate why they're doing this to poor Frankie and Cassie.
Randy and Frankie. It's so dumb. She's at BJ's getting treats for the girls at Fusion, and she sees Frankie, and she gets all pissy with him because she had seen him with Taylor. And so she sits his ass down, and he tells her that they slept together, which was so stupid because I actually thought he meant, like, I would have thought that would have been interesting.
I knew what he meant, though.
I thought slept together, like, they would have been, that would have been interesting.
He was trying to be sarcastic.
But
there, like, whatever,
he meant literally slept together because they served together in Iraq.
He was just trying to put away. Yeah, it was...
And then she's been gone a whole hell of a long time, like we said, getting treats. And then Fletcher calls, right?
Yeah, and he says, I'm watching you. And he goes, if I'm watching you, you shouldn't kiss her, blah, blah, blah. Get the money in her life. This is good. Look, I can't deal with this Fletcher anymore. I just can't. And you know what? I agree with you guys in the blogger. If they make Frankie steal those drugs, that is it. I am going to be totally pissed because that is, you're destroying a character.
Absolutely.
You're destroying a character. And I don't know why he just cannot go to his father when his father is the chief of police.
Well, he tried to. So first of all, Fletcher asks him for drugs instead of money and then tells him about some chick named Sherry. So then he calls his dad and says, Dad, I got to see you. But he also tells Randy he has to see her. So they meet again at BJ's. And he finds out that Sherry is some completely angelic, innocent, non-drug-using prostitute that got killed by Fletcher, and he made it look like a drug overdose, which is laughable to me because I don't really know of any prostitutes that don't have some drug problem, but whatever, that's just me. At least not at her level.
Yep. Oh, at her level. Okay, that point is right. That point.
At her seedy level.
That point.
The cool girls, yes, but yes. Not the... She was like $100 a night, wasn't she?
No, I think it was...
She charged,
I think it was $100 for 30 minutes.
That's still gross. That's gross. prostitutes, like crawl girls, charge like $1,000 for an hour.
Well, on One Life to Live, Emma Bradley in 1968 was charging, what did she say? I think $60 for 45 minutes. So,
how does he
Randy,
because
I was, because I, when I heard, when I was watching the One Life to Live episode, I said, God, they haven't come that far. And then,
yeah, she's like on a gross level, disgusting level.
I was like,
so
40
anyway.
Years later, and read, all you're getting is $40 more for less time. That's
so, but what's even worse and sillier, and poor Darnell Williams has to act this stuff, is he blows in and he's like, Frankie, what's wrong? What's wrong, Frankie? You know? I got an urgent call. I got an urgent call from you. What's wrong? In front of a hooker. In front of Randy. Sits down.
Son, what's up?
It's like ridiculous. Dumb. Then he BS's Jesse, and then BS's Randy, and I don't care.
I don't want. Fletcher is horrible. I can't.
Can you do Carmen and Jack? I'm not into it. I'm not into it. I don't like it.
Yeah, we have major
them together.
We have major disagreements about this. I personally do not want Carmen with Jack, but I do. I'm so sorry. I got to take better notes. Somebody in the blog did say that they thought that Carmen made Jack look younger, and it was so bizarre when I read your blog comment, because I felt the same thing too, and I thought that was very weird that he came across a little bit more lighter, a little more younger. I don't buy them together. I don't want them together. I don't believe that the character Carmen would go, especially especially for a Latin woman, would do that to somebody that she considers like her best friend. I'm not saying all Latin women are noble like that, because you can't say all, but on the most part, it's a very Latin thing that you just don't do that to your girlfriend unless you're a skanko. And Carmen's not that. They've established the kind of person that Carmen is. And I think that if Carmen was hit on by Jack, she would say, no, no. So I think right there you're showing that you're really not knowing who this character is.
I agree with you.
And that's why I'm upset about it. I do the thing we did.
She and Erica have a discussion
about it, and
she's interested in Jack, and Jack's interested in her.
And this is what we disagreed on, because you felt that Erica was being typical Erica. I actually thought the scenes were very well written and very well acted.
This is what happened. What happens is she goes out. Carmen goes out with Jack. It's supposed to be business as usual, but it kind of doesn't turn into that.
Because they meet the sex tech coming back from and they celebrate.
And it turns into sort of like a little, almost like a date. And then he asks her on a date and she runs, which was the right thing to do.
Right.
But then she sees Erica the next day. Erica's making her up and blah, blah, blah. And they're talking, and it kind of comes out that she and Jack were on a quote-unquote date, and Erica gets a little jealous. And Erica tells her, as I said on Buzzworthy Radio, well, I'm Carmen. I'm over Jack. But the question is Jack over me? So she tells her that. She sets that up in her head. And then she tells Carmen from that Jack has a history of going out with like people that are close to Erica, or just going out with women just to make Erica jealous.
And I thought that was a brilliant point on Erica's part, and I thought she's absolutely right. I think she's absolutely right, and I think that Jack is not the innocent, and he does do that. And I was blown away when she mentioned that, because I said, wow, she's right. And I felt that she wasn't – I felt our Erica has finally grown up and got a little bit more true, because I don't feel she was trying to manipulate Carmen. I think she was trying to be real honest with Carmen, because she did say, no, I'm sure he genuinely does like you, but – this is the deal.
Well, Carmen says, what kind of skanky hoe would I be to make a go at your man?
Right. But yet she's still going after him.
It's weird.
That's what doesn't make sense. But she's going to do it.
I have a best friend who's married, right?
Uh-huh.
And I think about, like, if she ever was not, like, if I wasn't with Carlos and she wasn't with her husband.
You do her?
Ever, no. No, Shane Amanda.
Okay.
I would never, ever in a gazillion years go after her husband. Now, I know I'm not a soap opera.
Right.
But it's like, it's just kind of gross. And that's the other thing that got me mad about it, is that not only do they know who Carmen is, they don't know how to write women. Women on this show seem to be prostitutes, baby stealers, baby crazy, man crazy. They will screw over their girlfriends no matter what. Every woman on the show has pretty much screwed over her girlfriend for a man or for a baby. Am I right? Seriously. Mm-hmm. Who hasn't? Opal. Myrtle. Although I wish Myrtle would screw over Kendall and go for Zach. That would be some delicious lovemaking scenes.
I don't know.
And not to mention the fact, no chemistry between Jack and Carmen. Zero, zip, zilch. Nada. I'm done.
Wait, we forgot to mention that Adam found out about Carmen going on the date, and that's where he got the idea to destroy Fusion, because she started sneezing, and that was her allergies. Those scenes were cute.
She's brilliant with him. Put her with him. I would love it.
I would love them two together.
Especially that whole idea of like the you know, like you have like who's the actor? Uma Thurman's ex-husband.
Ethan Skank.
Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Skank.
With his nanny.
Yeah, he doesn't bathe. He looks like he doesn't bathe. I don't like Ethan Hawke.
He's a good actor.
He's a skank.
He's a good actor.
He cheated
on
her.
But it's kind of a sexy thing, like getting involved with like the housekeeper, like Robin Williams got involved with the nanny, like getting involved with the housekeeper. I think it's sexy.
Anyway, I would like them together. I think they got chemistry.
Yes, they do.
I could totally buy that.
I would love it.
I thought their
and
scenes.
I don't care about
the again. Their scenes, their those moments with them. That was the week for me. They got me through the week. I loved. But this is all they're giving me. All my children. Moments. All right, go ahead. Last storyline.
It's Tad and Crystal, Katie, Kathy. Not much to say. They give that little devil spawn all the love and care, and she's still the devil spawn. That's what
I love. Kathy. She's got issues. She loses every mother.
You're right.
Those scenes were brilliant in the sense that, like, we found out why she feels that way, because she loses every mother, so she doesn't want another mother. I don't blame her. What I did think was upset was I thought they were gonna wrap it up all quickly when JR like did his little thing with her.
But
we found out at the end of the episode. Oh no, she just told them what they wanted to hear, and I like that aspect because this is too good to just give up that easy.
Kind of why I used to watch All My Children when I was little, because in my household, if I ever did what Kathy did, you don't want to know what happened to me. Let's put it this way. My whole family would not have gathered in a circle, in some kind of love circle, to talk loving to me. That would not have happened. I was like, man, white people are really nice. You could be bad and they like still really nice to you. I desperately wanted a white family. You don't even know. Desperate.
You're crazy.
It was so nice. It was so nice the way they treated that little devil spawn.
I like her too.
I like her too. You got 1 minute for one life
to live. She's giving me less and less time.
1 minute.
Oh my God. One Life to Live was so
fabulous
this week. Gigi got back into time and found Rex and found him in bed with Emma, but Emma said he was only thinking of you and the only reason was me because I look like you. Tina and Jess Tess were going at it as Tina was getting into Tess's business and Tess was not happy. Those scenes were amazing. Andrea Evans Tina's the only one who knows that there's a problem, which I find very odd, but whatever. But then Tess had some great scenes with Todd, her Uncle Todd. And those scenes were so well acted and so written. And Todd figured out what was going on, and he knows that she is Tess. Laura comes back to General Hospital tomorrow. Watch that.
That looks great.
That's the only reason I'm going to watch it is because Jeannie Francis is coming back.
I was like crying for only you reason. In the commercials, watching the commercials.
Oh, wait. And one more thing about One Night that was really good. Asa came back. Phil Carey came back as Bo has some emotional scenes to put some closure on his relationship with his father after what he experienced by going back in time. And in the same juncture, we found out that while Clint in 1968 was saying that he was never going to be like his father, Clint now is becoming his father as he's hatching a plan to get back at Dorian and steal and cause some rift with her adopted daughter, Langston. By bringing A. Martinez, who's going to be playing Langston's uncle, to the show. So look out for that in the weeks to come.
That sounds great, Jordan Hudson. That was a good wrap-up.
Alejandro, I'm going to blog you about As the World Turns. Me and Alejandro got to talk about As the World Turns because he asked me some As the World Turns questions. So.
You do that.
All right.
Thank you for listening this week, viewers. We were so glad to be able to do a show for you this week. If you want to continue the discussion, you can email us, pvp@pinevalleypodcast.com, or you can go to our MySpace page, www.myspace.com/pinevalleypodcast, or you can go to our website, www.pinevalleypodcast.com. You can click onto the blog site to post your thoughts. You can click onto some of our friend sites. You can do whatever you want. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And here's a little something just for you.
On all all my children.
I am sorry, Adam. But as far as I'm concerned, you are nothing but a bad memory to me.
Can Adam win Erica back? And on General Hospital, Luke, Robert, and Holly follow the trail to the Aztec treasure.
Come on, man, we're at another dead end.
But Holly finds a sign that could lead to danger. Plus, all this week, watch the commercial favorites, Family Feud Special.